And welcome to The Name Game. This is Bob Zanotti. I'll tell you this much, that we are in the canton of Graubünden in southeastern Switzerland. I have picked a resort today which is not terribly well known, but one which certainly is deserving of attention. I am joined by...
My name's Richard Willen, and I actually work here in this village.
And you work at the rail station, which is why we're here.
I work at the rail station of the Rhaetischen Railway. I met a young lady in London from the town of Davos. Am I allowed to say that?
Yes, you are. But that's not where we are.
That's not where we are, no. I met a young lady from the town of Davos in London 22 years ago, and we've been married 20 years, and I've been living not far away from this particular village for 15 years now.
At least once a year, this particular village is graced by the presence of none less than part, anyway, of the British royal family.
Yeah, His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales, Prince Charles, comes and visits us here.
Let us help our listeners now to locate this. We're not saying where we are, but maybe you could give a few geographical hints.
Well, the train that came in as we started this chat, Bob, that had come from Davos Platz, which is about 20 minutes away. We're at the top of a valley called the Prätigau, and the train that came in was going to the town of Landquart. And if I turn round and think, well, we can go up the Gotschnerbahn, which is here in this village that I'm not allowed to say the name of.
It's a cable car right at the main rail station.
That's right, the Gotschnerbahn. And that takes us up to the very famous skiing and wandering walking area of the Parsen.
And incidentally, this is a multilingual canton, German, Romansch, and Italian. What is the predominant language here in this village?
Well, here the predominant language is German. It's the local dialect of Schweizerdeutsch, Prätigerdeutsch.
Which you speak very well, and it's not one of the easiest dialects to learn.
Well, it's actually quite a complicated dialect, yeah, and there are lots and lots of differences. But that's Switzerland, really. Each valley has its own dialect, 150 different ones, something in that region.
Richard Willen, thank you very much. I have to quickly go over to the tourist office here in the village to get a few more details about what people can do here in our mystery town. And the director of tourism for the village is Martin Akula. Mr. Akula, what would you say are the most important attractions?
In summer, we have a lot of footpaths where especially families can hike. In winter, of course, it's skiing. Alpine skiing, cross-country skiing.
There's something new that you've included in the program, and that is mountain biking.
Yes, we have about 100 kilometers of signed routes for mountain bikers. Some are quite steep, but others are also especially for families or even children, small children.
You have a spa here as well. It's a sulfur source. Do we know how old that is?
It's used in the tourism sense for more than 150 years.
It probably goes back to the Romans or something long before then, no?
Yes, we use it especially for the prevention of rheumatism.
Okay, thank you very much. Traditional music from the area of, well, the mystery destination in this edition of The Name Game. Albert and Leslie Burkhardt operate one of the rustic-style hotels in the village. Mrs. Burkhardt is originally from England, where she met her Swiss husband-to-be. Leslie Burkhardt supplies a few more details of the village's early history.
It was founded in 1220. It used to be a monastery, and this monastery does not exist anymore. We now have a church on top of the monastery.
We should mention the monastery, and this is a clue, contributes, let's put it that way, to the name of our mystery village. So that's a hint right there. Mm-hmm. This is the Prätigau region of Graubünden. How would you define that?
That's a very narrow valley that comes up to this village, and only in 1925 the first cars drove up that valley and into our village.
Before that there was only the rail?
Only the rail, yes, or horse and carriage.
We speak of one village, but the village really is in two parts. One is called Platz, or place, and the other is Dorf, or village. How did that happen?
The villages all started in Dorf.
That was the center of things.
That was the center of things, and after came the Platz. Not just in our village, but most of the villages in this area.
Sort of a suburb of the village.
Yes, yes.
And we've just been joined by Albert Burkhardt, and there's one thing that interests me very much, and that is food. Graubünden is known to have certain food specialties, and this particular area as well. What are the most important ones?
Well, Graubünden, actually, as it is a mountainous area, it's a poor people's food.
It was a rough life here, and people had to live on whatever they had.
So they have this, to start with, they usually have Bündner Gerstensuppe, but this is a
barley soup.
A barley soup, yeah. That's a famous soup. But they also have food which is made from flour, vegetables which are grown up here, and meat is preserved by drying, no, as it's very easy to dry meat in dry air. So the Bündner meat specialities are usually dried meat. And then I have always cheese and butter.
Who does the cooking here at home?
My husband does the cooking here. When he's ill, I have to do it.
And you've learned all of these local foods?
Yes, I've learned quite a lot over the years, must say.
Albert and Leslie Burkhardt. One of the highlights of a visit to this village is dropping by its folklore museum, the Heimatmuseum. It goes back to 1565 and is built of a combination of wooden logs and thick stone in a tradition called the Walser style, which was brought to this part of Graubünden by settlers from Canton Valley. I was met at the museum by its curator, Paula Klucker, who spoke through a translator, Katharina Zaug.
As we come in, there's just a fairly large entrance area, lots of stone and plaster, which is painted white, and heavy wooden beams everywhere. And just facing us here is the kitchen. Let's go in here first. And half of this area in here has got a wooden floor today, but I understand it used to be an earth floor, just dirt floor. But there's another part of it where the actual cooking went on, and we see a big iron cauldron sitting over this wood oven, it looks like, where the fire was actually placed. And the flue into the chimney is very high and completely open. This must have been a kind of multi-purpose place, not just for cooking.
Yes, this place was used for many different things. First of all, for cooking. Then they fired in here. That means they put wood in the oven, and it warmed up the living room. And also when there was a fire, of course, in the kitchen, it was warm. Otherwise, it was very cold. Also, what you see those things hanging down from the chimney, they had
sort of iron hooks, yes, and things. Yeah,
they were smoking meat here. The meat was hanging up here, so you can imagine all the smells in this kitchen.
And that was a way to preserve the meat. There were no refrigerators. It got cold. It still gets cold here in the winter, but they needed to preserve this all year round, and smoking and air curing was the way they did it.
Yes, exactly. That was the way they did it.
Well, this is one of the most, some people would say, the most important room of the house, the kitchen. But in their free time, we're moving over now to what I would call, or we would call today, the living room. And it looks very cozy in here, and everything is wood paneling. And this part of the museum is filled with all kinds of terrific objects. There's one, for example, on the wall. It's a clock, and it looks like somebody built that in their spare time as a hobby. There's one over here which I think is very funny. Is this a crib or a small child's bed?
Exactly, that is a small child's bed, and as you see, it is very interesting.
It's all massive wood, very heavy wood construction.
Very beautiful wood carvings you see in it. And one thing which is particular, you can lengthen the bed.
It's adjustable.
It's adjustable, and that is something I don't think we find today.
But very practical. It grows with the child in that case. And here in another corner, we see even chickens. Or we don't see any chickens, but we see what looks like a cage with the chickens brought indoors during the winter.
They could not lay eggs if they were too cold. That was a reason why they were brought into that room. So there were always two or three chickens in the room running around.
I wonder what it must have smelled like in here. I don't think we would go for that today. And upstairs, if I could lead the way, is another major portion of this folklore museum. This looks like the bedroom, at least in part, another kind of a living area, but also the bedroom, and it's full of very beautiful cabinets here. And everything, we must emphasize, everything is wood. There's so much wood. Is that because, very simply, there's so much wood around?
Yes, of course, that was the material of that time. They worked everything with wood, and that's why it also is so cozy. It was a natural resource. Mm-hmm. Of the time.
And there's something which has caught my eye on the other side and across from the bed. It is what I would call a slit, or almost a small rectangular shaped window which has been cut into the wall. And I know that windows were not popular in those days because they let the cold in, and it doesn't seem to be any good reason for this. What was it?
This is very unique, and it is very specific of these houses, of these Walser houses. They all had that. And the belief was that if somebody died in the house, they opened that window, and that way the soul could come to rest, and the soul could also go into the sky.
Leave the house. Well, I'm not prepared to die right now, but I do have to leave. But I think I'll go by conventional means. Thank you very much for showing us around the Heimat Museum, or the Folklore Museum here in our Mystery Village. And it's really well worth seeing, and fascinating, and loaded, really loaded, with the most precious, interesting antique items of that period. Thank you very much.